नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम दी सेवेंथ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद्गीता titled Knowledge of the Absolute or Vijnana Yoga. And as we discussed before, in the first six chapters, Krishna discusses about predominantly yoga, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, which have bhakti in a minute quantity, and karma, jnana and yoga predominant. So this was the subject matter of the first six chapters, amongst which Krishna ended by mentioning that amongst these types of yogas, Ashtanga Yoga is better than Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and others. But then even superior to Ashtanga Yoga is Bhakti Yoga. He introduces Bhakti Yoga in the last verse of sixth chapter. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mat. So in that way he introduces bhakti at the end of the sixth chapter, and he starts the seventh chapter by describing this process of bhakti. Maya saktamana partha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramma mita gyasasi tachrunu. He says such a practice indicates that the mind is attached to Krishna, which means Krishna is the goal, anya bilashita shunyam. And what does it mean to have Krishna as the goal? Yogam yunjan. Yogam yunjan means one wants to establish a relationship with Krishna in one of the prominent rasas, shanta dasya sakya vatsalya and madhurya. That is the meaning. And then madashraya. Madashraya means he is surrendered to Krishna alone and not to any other demigods. And on top of that, he is surrendered to Krishna purely through the process of bhakti only and not through any other process. Jnana karma dhyanavritam. Essentially, this verse says, what is bhakti? Anyabhilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavritam, anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. That is actually bhakti. Okay, Shuddha bhakti. This is how he defines bhakti. Because if bhakti has to be described, then pure bhakti has to be described. And then later, if that bhakti is mixed with karma, jnana and yoga, what happens? That is a different discussion. But initially, when bhakti has to be introduced, pure bhakti has to be introduced. That's what here, through this definition, Krishna is doing this. Then he says, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vaksham yasheshatah yad gyatva neha bhoyonyad gyatavyam avashishyate. I will explain to you completely the knowledge of my powers, which is jnana, and the knowledge of my sweetness, which is vijnana, and understanding these two, nothing else remains to be understood. Okay. Then he says, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatadanam api siddhanam kaschanme vetti tattvatah. So he says, amongst thousands of men who endeavor in various different ways, only some people attain success. Amongst those who attain success, hardly anyone knows me in truth. So which means the rarity of such a person who takes up to this path of bhakti and understands Krishna, it is very, very rare, he says. So then he says, knowing Krishna starts with knowing about Krishna's energies or powers. You know, before even knowing the sweetness of Krishna, one should know Krishna's powers in the form of his energies. So Krishna's energies are two types in this material world. One is the external energy, which includes the gross and the subtle elements. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kammano buddhi revacha ahankara iti yamme binna prakriti rashtada. So this is the external energy. Apareyam idasto anyam prakritim vidhime param jivamutam mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. Then there is the inferior energy, this is the inferior energy, and the superior energy. superior means superior amongst these two. Iyam apara, whatever was spoken was apara shakti, but there is me param prakritim viddi. But you should also understand my para prakriti. So here para does not refer to internal energy. Para refers to the superior amongst the two which Krishna is describing here. So the two energies that Krishna is describing is the material energy and jiva shakti. Amongst these two, material energy is apara shakti and jiva is para shakti. Okay. So what is this para shakti? Jiva bhutam. It is the jivas. Yaya idam dharyate jagat. Who employ the inferior energy for their enjoyment. And then he says, Yetad yonini bhutani sarvani tyupadaraya aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastata. Whatever you see in this world has its source in either the external energy or the jiva shakti. It has a source in these two, but you should understand aham krishnasya jagatah prabhava pralayastata. But I am the origin and dissolution of the whole universe because the Bahiranga Shakti is my Shakti and the Jiva Shakti is also my Shakti only. So ultimately, even though you can trace out the origin of all things in this material world to these two energies, but because these two energies being my energy, you should understand that I am the source of creation and destruction of everything in this world. Not only that, I am also the source of maintenance of everything in this world as the Paramatma. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. So he says that there is nothing superior to me. Everything is pervaded by me as pearls are strung on a thread. Just like in a necklace, you cannot see the thread. You can see only the pearls. But the pearls are held together in the form of a necklace by the invisible thread. Similarly, everything in this material world is functioning exactly according to their dharma because Krishna as the Paramatma is empowering them invisibly to exhibit their dharma. Sugar is sweet, salt is salty, water is fluid and it has a particular taste. Everything, they are seamlessly exhibiting their nature only because Krishna as invisible Paramatma is empowering them to exhibit their matter. So I am the source of maintenance also. I am not just the source of creation and dissolution, but I am the source of maintenance also. That's what Krishna says here in this verse. Then he explains that how Krishna is the source and Krishna is the essence of everything that you see in this material world, in this series of verses. Rasoham apsukaunteya prabhasmi sashishuryayoho pranavah sarvavedeshu shabdakye paurusham tushu. Whatever you see, taste, if you see in the universal creation process, the element is created from its tanmatra, or the element is created from its sense object. So taste is the source of water. Okay. Form is the source of fire. Fragrance is the source of earth. Sound is the source of ether, like that. So when Krishna says, I am the taste of water, it means I am the source of water, like that. And either I am the source of water, either I am the source of everything, or I am the essence of everything. Paurusham Rishu. I am the Purushatva in Purushas, in men, which means that is the essence, like that. Or Pranavah Sarva Vedeshu. I am Pranava in the Vedas. Om is the essence of all the Vedas. So, like that. So, Krishna is either the essence or the source. Like that. So, then, this he describes from 8th verse onwards till 11th verse, and then the 12th verse is summarized by telling ye chaiva satvika bhava rajasa tamasas chaye matta eveti tan viddi natvaham teshu te mai. I don't wish to keep listing everything in this world and say how I am the source or the essence of everything. But to summarize this, whatever you see in this world, which is either sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, either qualities or people, their natures, anything that you see, whose origin you may trace to either sattvaguni ahankar or rajoguni ahankar or tamoguni ahankar. Okay, so you know, we saw that false ego in mode of ignorance is the source of all the gross elements and their sense objects in this material world. It is the source of all that is false ego in mode of ignorance. And the subtle senses, both the working senses and the knowledge senses, intelligence, the life airs, it is all a byproduct of false ego in mode of passion, rajoguni ahankar. And mind and the sense devatas are the predominating deities of the senses. They are all byproducts of false ego in the mode of goodness. So practically everything that you see in this world is a byproduct of either is a byproduct of one of the three modes. So he says, whatever you see in this world, which is a byproduct of any of these three modes, you should understand that they all come from me. Matta eveti tan viddi. They all come from me. I am in them, but they are not in me. So, but they are not in me means Krishna is not dependent on them. Okay. So then he says, Tribir gunamayer bhave revivamidam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. So if you are all things, if all things are dependent on you, then why don't people know you? Who is the Supreme Lord? Why don't people know you? So people do not know me because Tribir gunamayer bhave revis sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. The whole world bewildered by the objects and person made of the three gunas does not know me. So then in this context we discussed in detail understanding the influence of the three modes. What the three modes influence, we were discussing. So how the three modes influence the pure Shastric faith, how the three modes can influence the Swabhava, and how the three modes influence the general experiential non-Shastric faith. So what it leads to and the complex interplay between these things, we discussed in great detail the other day. I won't get into this. But one can understand Krishna only if the faith is pure. One can realize Krishna only when the faith and the Swabhava are completely pure. Only then one can realize Krishna. Okay. So sadhakas are those who have pure devotional faith, which is transcendental to the three modes, but they have a swabhava which is still contaminated by the three modes. But by practice of bhakti, when the swabhava also becomes completely purified at the stage of bhava and prema, then with that pure faith and purified swabhava, they can realize Krishna and they can realize their own relationship with Krishna. So, but due to the influence of the modes, one cannot understand Krishna. That's why Krishna says, Tribir gunamayer bhaver evis sarvamidam jagat mohitam nabijanati mamebhya paramavyayam. And then in the next verse he says that this we discussed in great detail. So then in the next verse Krishna says that daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. He says, this maya which is made of three modes is very difficult to surpass. And in this context, we discussed that how this maya potency is not an evil energy which is trying to turn the jiva, which is trying to ensure that the jiva does not escape this material world. No. We discussed in detail that how the Maya potency actually is meant to aid the jiva undergo the requisite purification before going to the spiritual world. So Maya Devi ensures that we do not go to the spiritual world prematurely. So she stops for a reason. Okay. So Maya Devi, the scriptures, Vaishnavas and Krishna, they all work in conjunction with each other to help the jiva, properly equip itself to come to the spiritual world and enjoy in the association of Krishna. So Maya Devi stops so that the jiva becomes qualified. And how the jiva becomes qualified? Mamevaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. The jiva becomes qualified by surrendering Krishna. And when the jiva surrenders to Krishna, then maya, and when the surrendering process becomes perfected, then the maya lets go of the jiva. Okay. So it is not that Krishna defeats Maya. So we saw that Maya's role is the role of the anesthetist. It's the role of the anesthetist. So the anesthesia has to, keep working till the pain will last. So if the pain, if the effect of anesthesia weans away before the pain subdues, then the patient suffers pain. Similarly, the bewilderment of Maya or the effect of Maya should persist till the jiva is completely ready to turn his face towards Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. So once he is ready, just like the anesthesia weans away, once the pain is gone, similarly, Maya Devi also removes her influence as soon as the jiva is purified and ready to go back home, back to Godhead. So then, so Krishna says, Mamevaya prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Only one who surrenders unto me can escape the influence of Maya. So then the question is, then all wise people should certainly surrender to you. But we do not see wise people surrendering to you. Why don't wise people surrender to you? Don't they wish to overcome the influence of Maya? Krishna says, Namam duskritino mudaha prapadyante naradama mayaya apahrita jnana asurim bhavam ashritaha. So he says, he says that four kinds of people do not surrender unto me. Actually, who does not surrender unto Krishna? People who are dushkritinaha. Kritinaha means intelligent. Dushkritinaha means those who have misguided intelligence or improperly guided intelligence. Those whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, they do not surrender to Krishna. And Sukritinaha means those who have proper intelligence which is guided by the Shastras, they surrender to Krishna. Okay. So, these Dushkritinaha, those who have misguided intelligence or unguided intelligence, they are four in type. And there are four in category. There are four broad categories. The first category is Mudaha. Mudaha means those whose life is dedicated solely to sense enjoyment. What is the purpose of life? Just enjoy. Rinam kritva gritam pibet yavat jivet sukam jivet. Beg, borrow or steal, live life king size. That is the purpose of life, is to live life king size, enjoy as much as you want. These are the mudas, those who are dedicated to sense enjoyment. The second categories are the naradamas. The naradamas are the lowest amongst mankind because these people took up to bhakti, they were practicing bhakti, and due to offenses, they lose that qualification for bhakti and they stop practicing bhakti. So they are Naradamas. They are the lowest amongst mankind who had the great opportunity to practice bhakti and perfect their life, but due to offensive mentality, they gave up that opportunity and stopped practicing bhakti. And the third category of Dushkritinaha, those who are falsely intelligent, are Mayaya Apahrita Jnana. Maya Apahrita Jnana are the deluded teas who misunderstand the scripts and misinterpret the scriptures and give skewed meanings to the scriptures. And in this way, they think that, oh, we are followers of scriptures, but they are not exactly followers of scriptures. They are followers of their own speculation. Okay. This is not improper understanding. So they take the shelter of scriptures, calling themselves as theists, but through the scriptures, they bring out, you know, false conclusions, like thinking Krishna's body to be material and temporary like that. So these are Maya Aparita Jnanas, Jnanis who are the Mayavadis and other such people, you know, Karma Mimamsakas and others, who derive their conclusions purportedly from the scriptures, but false conclusions. Okay. And the fourth category of people are Asuram Bhavam Ashritaha, those who are outright atheists who wish to attack Krishna and kill Krishna. So these four kinds of people, because they are Dushkritinaha, their intelligence is not guided by the Shastras. So such people do not surrender unto Krishna. Okay. Then who surrenders to Krishna? Krishna says, Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukritino arjuna arto jigyasurarthi jnani cha bhartarshava. So he says four kinds of people. He says sukritinaha, those who have proper intelligence which is guided by the Shastras, by the religious texts, they surrender unto me. And they surrender for four reasons. What are those four reasons? Artho jigyasur arthaarthi jnani cha bharatarshava. So they surrender for these four reasons. First is, if they wish some relief from suffering, then they surrender. Then arthaarthi is, if they want some wealth, they surrender. Then jigyasu, if they have some inquiry, a deeper inquiry, then they surrender. Or these jnanis surrender. So these jnanis are, you know, these jnanis are actually jnana mishra bhaktas. That is how Srila Vishnachaka Thakur explains. Who are these jnanis? He gives multiple explanations. Vishnachaka Thakur himself gives slightly different explanations, you know, two, three different possibilities of who these jnanis are. We will see this. Okay. So, of these, the first three types, the Artha, Jigyasu and Artharthi, they are Karma Mishra Bhaktas. They are Karma Mishra Bhaktas, and this Jnani is a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So this is how Srila Vishwanatha Thakur explains. Okay. And so they have Karma Mishra Bhakti, which means predominant bhakti with a mixture of karma. And the fourth is the Jnana Mishra Bhakta, which is predominant bhakti with a slight tinge of jnana, like that. Okay. So then he says then we saw the last time, you know, this whole chart of you know, the result of practice of you know, Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga, and then Jnana Yoga, then Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Karma Mishra Bhakti, you know, and all these various things. Okay. Shuddha Bhakti, you know, like that. So anyways, Then Krishna says, Tesham Jnani Nitya Yukta Eka Bhaktir Vishishyate. Priyohi Jnanino Atyartam Aham Sacha Mama Priyaha. He says, of these four kinds of people who surrender unto me, the Jnani is the best. Why? Because the Jnani is Nitya Yukta. Nitya Yukta means he is constantly thinking of Krishna. Whereas this Artha, Arthaarthi, Jigyasu, they are not constantly thinking of Krishna. They are sometimes thinking of Krishna, sometimes they are thinking how I can escape my suffering, or sometimes they are thinking how I can get that wealth, or sometimes they are thinking how I can get an answer to my inquiries, like that. So such people are not constantly thinking of Krishna. They are not Nitya Yukta. Whereas the Jnani is Nitya Yukta. He is constantly thinking of Krishna. So the Jnani here is, who is this Jnani? We will see. Okay. And Eka Bhaktir, he is practicing Bhakti alone. Okay. Vishishyate, he is best. Priyohi Jnanino Atyartam Aham Sachamam Priyaha. I am cherished by that Jnani and he is cherished by me. So what does this mean? Who is this Jnani? He says, the Jnani is absorbed in me constantly. This means that because his consciousness has been brought under control by the practice of Jnana, he has full concentration over his mind. But the other three do not have this quality. Okay. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhar says, Eka Bhakti means, it could mean predominance of Bhakti. In which case, he is a practitioner of predominant Bhakti, Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, where Bhakti is predominant, but there is a tinge of Jnana also. Or, Eka Bhakti can mean, he has great attachment to the process of Bhakti alone. Which means he is almost a pure devotee, but he is a Jnani only in name only. Because he is transitioning from the path of Jnana to the path of Bhakti, therefore he is called a Jnani. Okay. So he says, Priyohi Jnanino Atyartam Aham Sachamama Priyaha. I, in the form of Shyam Sundar, I am exceedingly dear to such a Jnani. He cannot give me up either in the stage of sadhana or in the stage of perfection. So even at the stage of sadhana or at the stage of perfection, this Jnani does not give up Krishna. Okay, so he is not a Jnani. He is a Jnanameshra Bhakta, or he could even be a Shuddha Bhakta with a tinge of Jnana, very slight tinge of Jnana. Okay. So then the question is, if only the Jnani is very dear to you, then are the other three types of people who worship you, are they not dear to you? Krishna says, no. Udara sarvaye vaite, Jnani tu atmaiva me matam, astita sahi yuktatma mameva anuttamam gatim. So he says, ete sarva udara eva. All of them are very exalted people because they are worshipping me. So all of them are very exalted. But Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. So he says that, Jnani tu atma eva, but the Jnani is my soul. Why? Astita sahi yuktatma, because he is firmly convinced that I alone am the highest goal. So the Jnani is convinced that Krishna alone is the highest goal. So therefore he is the best. So what does this mean? So he worships me and does not desire anything at all from me, neither swarga nor moksha. So this Jnani who is mentioned here, he is not even a moksha kami, but he is a Jnani because the influence of past practice of Jnana, the tinge is there very strongly, or at least lightly. So he says, this is because he is firmly convinced that I alone, in the form of Shyam Sundar and not my impersonal aspect as Brahma Nirvana, I am the highest goal to be attained. So this person has no material desires, but he still has a predominance of bhakti, which means he has a tinge of jnana. So which means most likely he attains what is called as shantarati. Shantarati means a very preliminary relationship with Krishna. He does not want just liberation. He does not want salokya mukti or sayujya mukti, impersonal liberation or even just personal liberation. He wants a relationship with Krishna, but because of the strong influence of jnana, he does not want a very intimate relationship with Krishna. So he attains what is called as shantarati. Rati means a very budding stage of prema, a stage of bhava. But even that rati is shantarati, very neutral relationship. He wants a relationship, but he wants the relationship to be very neutral and not so intimate. This is this Jnana Mishra Bhakta who is described here. But a Kevala Bhakta or a pure devotee, so Krishna says, Jnani to Atmaiva me priyohi jnani no atyartam aham sachamama priyah. So he says that the jnani is as good as myself. He says, Krishna says, the jnani is as good as myself. But, so with this jnana mishra bhakta, but when Krishna talks about pure devotees, he says, a pure devotee is better than me. So in many verses, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna very clearly says that if the practitioner of pure devotional service is better than even me. Whereas when he talks about this jnana mishra bhakta, he says he is equal to me. Whereas when he talks about pure devotee, he says he is better than me, like that. And then he says, Bahunam janmanamante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha. He says, when will this jnana mishra bhakta become a pure devotee? He says, Bahunam janmanate, after many, many lifetimes. But is it automatic? No. It is not automatic. Because to become a pure devotee, one should accumulate pure devotional sukriti over many lifetimes. So therefore, bahunam janmanamante. So if while practicing this jnana, if he had already accumulated some sukriti, sufficient sukriti in the previous lives, then in this life only he may become a pure devotee. No problem. And then come to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. That is possible. So, but it is not like after many, many lifetimes of practicing this mixed devotional service, automatically he will become a pure devotee. No, that's not what this means. If this person is fortunate enough to come in touch with pure Vaishnavas and accumulate the Sukriti over many lifetimes, then after a few lifetimes, the sukriti will mature into pure faith, and then such people will take up to pure devotional service. That's what this verse says. So it is not that by practicing mixed devotional service over many lifetimes, automatically they will become pure devotional service. Nothing is automatic here. The intervention of devotee, pure devotee, is very important. So that is why here in this third line, you see, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says, such a saintly person surrenders to me, through chance association with devotees. Only if he gets chance association of devotees, he will surrender to Krishna. Like that. So such a person is very rare. Then the question arises, so it is understood from you, from what you have said, that the Sakama Bhaktas, because they worship you, the Lord responds to them becomes somewhat successful. You know, if someone has some material desires also, if they surrender to you, Krishna, they get their material desires fulfilled and later they attain some higher goals also. Okay. So it looks like a very lucrative thing. Okay. Some people surrender to you, some people don't surrender. But some people seem to be surrendering to the demigods who are these people and why do they surrender to the demigods? Why do they surrender to the demigods? So Krishna says, Kamaistaistair hridagyanaha prapadyante anya devata tam tam niyamamastaya prakritya niyata swaya. So he says that hridagyana, those who have become foolish. Foolish here means those whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras. Okay. And hritagyana, taistair kamaihi. So they are not guided by the Shastras, they are guided by their kama. They are purely guided only by their desires and they are not guided by their by the Shastras. So such people, what do? Prapadyante anya devataha. They take shelter of the other devatas. And tam tam niyama mastaya. And they follow the rules of worshipping those devatas. And why do they follow this those rules? Swaya prakritya niyataha. Because they are controlled by their own prakriti, by their own conditioned nature. So this is what Krishna in the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita calls as Swabhavajam Shraddha. A kind of faith which is purely experiential faith. It is not guided by Shastras. So being controlled by their experiential faith, they adopt certain rules and worship those devatas. The desire to worship those devatas is not guided by Shastras. The desire to worship by the devatas is guided by their own experiential faith. So those people whose intelligence is not guided by their Shastras, but guided only by their experiential faith, which is filled with various material desires, such people are inclined to worship the demigods. Okay. This is where we ended our discussion last Friday. So before we continue today's discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add, you can please go ahead. Any quick questions, comments, anything anyone would like to share as add. Okay, there are two hands up. And I think, did I see some questions in the chat box? Okay, there are some questions in the chat box. I'll first take the chat box questions quickly and then I will take the verbal questions. Okay, here the Lord says the Jnani is dear to him. Then why the Lord, while speaking to Uddhava, did not look at Maitreya Rishi, who was also a Jnanameshwara Bhakta? He didn't look at Maitreya because there was Uddhava also, who was a pure devotee. So that is the reason. That is the reason he was looking at Uddhava and not Maitreya. But still, he did allow Maitreya also to hear the whole conversation, which is very great actually. Okay, another question. As devotees, we have all the first three qualities: distress, need for economic security, and we have questions. Yes, we do have, but that is not the, we do have them, but that is not our goal. You know, there is a difference between, we don't worship Krishna for removing our distress. Even though when we are in distress, we desire to get out of our distress, but that is not the purpose of our practice of sadhana. Whereas the artha, he actively prays to Krishna, Krishna, I will worship you, please remove my distress. Okay. While practicing sadhakas may also, when they come into distress, they may wish to get out of that distress, but that is not their primary goal. Their primary, sometimes they may say, oh Krishna, I am not able to focus on chanting your holy names and perform your sadhana properly because of this distress. So kindly help me out so that I can chant your holy names properly. So the primary, the goal is to chant the holy names and serve the devotees and follow the instructions of the spiritual master. But if for accomplishing that, some obstacles in the form of lack of financial security or some material distress is there, then the devotee may say, Krishna, can you please help me out with this so that I can properly continue with my worship? I'm unable to focus on my worship, you know, like that. So here the primary goal is to worship Krishna without any obstruction, without any obstacle. And for accomplishing that, sometimes devotees may desire to overcome the material distress. So that is different from these artho artharthi jigyasu, you know, definitely. So what does it mean that I am dependent on him and he is my soul? It just indicates Krishna's affection for this jnani, this jnana mishra bhakta, who is attached to Krishna, who worships Krishna, and who does not even desire liberation from Krishna. Rather, he desires some sort of a relationship with Krishna. Therefore, Krishna feels very obliged and sold out to that person. Therefore, he says, I am dependent on you. It indicates I have great affection for you. That's what it means. Another question in the chat box. Does it mean demigod worship is not in Shastras? Well, if you ask the Shastras, can I worship the demigods? The Shastras will say no. But mostly people don't ask this question. People say, oh, how do I worship Lord Shiva? The Shastras say, okay, worship them this way. Worship Lord Shiva in this way. But if you are absolutely neutral and you go to the Shastras and ask, whom should I worship? And the Shastras will give a very unequivocal answer. You worship only Vishnu. That is very unequivocal answer. Okay. So, but if someone has already decided whom to worship, then Shastras may say, okay, at least ask me how to worship Lord Shiva. I will tell you. The Shastras will say like that. So therefore, these are all the demigod worship Shastras are all peripheral Shastras. These are not Shastras which are core Shastras where the person who is following that Shastra is willing to ask the Shastra, whom should I worship? Okay. So a pure devotee, he asks three questions. Whom to worship? Why to worship? And how to worship? Okay. Whom to worship? Krishna. Why to worship? For relationship with Krishna. Okay. And how to worship? By pure devotional service. So if these three questions are asked to the Shastras, these are the three answers the Shastras will give. Okay. But a mixed devotee, okay, a mixed devotee of a mixed devotee of type 1, okay, he will ask the Shastras whom to worship, okay, and he may also ask how to worship. Okay, but he will not ask why to worship. He has already decided that. This is this artho, artharthi and jnani. they clearly want escape from suffering. So they will ask, look, I want to escape suffering. Shastras, please tell me, whom should I worship? The Shastras say, Krishna or Vishnu. And they may also ask how to worship. They will say, pure devotional service. Jnana Karmadi Anavrita Bhakti. You can practice. Or some people may not even ask that. They will only partially ask. They are already attached to some karma, jnana, etc. So they will practice that also. Okay. And then there are demigod worshippers. Demigod worshippers type 1. Type 1 demigod worshippers. So they will not ask whom to worship. They will not ask why to worship. They will only ask one question, which is how to worship. Okay. How to worship. So they are not asking. So they will say, how do I worship Lord Shiva to get some fame? So why to worship? They have already decided. I want some fame. Whom to worship? That they have already decided, Lord Shiva. The only question they are willing to ask the Shastras is, how to worship? Shastras say, okay, I will answer that question. Okay. But there are another type of demigod worshipper. Okay. Type 2 demigod worshipper. They will not ask any question to the Shastras. Whom to worship? They have already decided, some demigod. Why to worship? They have some material needs. And how to worship? That also they will not ask the Shastras. They have some their own concocted means of worshipping the demigods. So they will not ask. So this is absolutely whimsical. Absolutely whimsical practice. You know. So these two categories are, you know, yes, Shastravidam Utsrujya Vartate Kamakaratah. Nasasiddhim avapnoti nasukam na paramgatim. You know, Krishna says in the 16th chapter towards the end, he says that they reject all kinds of Shastric rules and worship and they act completely whimsically. So this is this fourth type. But in the 17th chapter, Arjuna talks about this type 1 demigod worshipper who says, yes, Shastravidim Utsrujya Yajante Shraddayanvita Tesham Nishta Tuka Krishna Sattvamaho Rajastama. So Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna, O Krishna, not everyone who rejects the Shastric injunctions is seen to act very whimsically. There is one category of people who seem to reject the Shastric they don't seem to be asking the Shastras whom to worship, but they still seem to be performing worship guided by the Shastras. What category do they fall? You know, he says, oh, such people have Swabhavajam Shraddha and such people worship the demigods. Like that. So, therefore, those Shastras which talk about demigod worship are not recommending demigod worship. But because the follower of that Shastra is not willing to ask the Shastra whom to worship, he is just willing to ask the Shastras how to worship. Therefore, he says, okay, fine. You want to know how to worship Lord Shiva, I will tell you how to worship. Like that. Okay. There is another question. Regarding health issues, one can ask Krishna for good health to perform one sadhana and service to Vaishnavas. Is this right understanding? Yeah, this is perfectly right understanding. One can definitely request Krishna, Krishna, I am not able to tolerate this ill health and continue with my services and sadhana. So can you please do something? Either give me tolerance so that I can tolerate and serve you, or please remove this obstacle so that I can serve you. So this is perfectly fine. This is within the realm of pure devotional practice. No problem. Okay. Another question. Follower of Varnashrama and worshipping demigod, what do they come under? So follower of Varnashrama, it falls under mixed devotional practice. Demigod worshippers can be the third type or fourth type, depending on whether they are whimsically worshipping demigod or at least the worship of demigods, they are following the shastras, depends on that. Okay, there are two hands which are up. We will take those questions now. Yes, Kalanidhi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Dandavat
Prabhu. Prabhuji, I don't know if my question is out of syllabus, but because you mentioned it, mm-hmm. that Krishna himself says that my pure devotees are greater than me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matta Paratram Naya, there is nothing greater than Krishna and everything is Krishna. So, how to understand this idea of a pure devotee being even greater than Krishna?
Sorry, Krishna. That is the heart of Krishna. Krishna feels they are greater than himself. In the opinion of Krishna.
Okay.
In Krishna's estimation, the pure devotees are greater than himself. So he is not speaking Siddhanta there. He is speaking his heart.
So how should we understand this comment?
In this way, in Krishna's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So my devotee is superior than me means worship of my devotee is superior to worshipping me. Mad bhakta puja abhyadika. Or as Krishna says to Arjuna that if you say you are my devotee, you are not my devotee. If you say you are my devotee's devotee, I consider you as the best of the devotees. Like that. So which means in Krishna's heart, he estimates the devotee as being better than himself. That is Krishna's mood.
But so if the devotee really wants to please Krishna, then he would do well to worship the devotees more than he does worship of Krishna.
Correct. But in the right mood.
Yeah.
The devotee to be the servant of Krishna.
Mm, right.
In that mood. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Shyamali Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Dhandavad.
So, Prabhuji, almost answered the question I had in mind, that there are so many Puranas which describe the glories of Lord Shiva, and, you know, there are Puranas which speak about Brahma, and all of that is there. So, my question was also that only, that Shastras do give so much about, you know, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and so many other. So so many of these Puranas also glorify Lord Shiva as the supreme, and, you know, so many Mahadev and all that.
Seemingly glorify.
Sorry?
They seemingly glorify Lord Shiva as the supreme. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, bro.
Yeah. So, most of it I you already answered. You said that it's because we are not asking the right questions. Mm-hmm. But if the Puranas are glorifying Lord Shiva as, you know, the supreme, and there are people who are following. Mm-hmm. How is it that apparently it looks like they are also seeking the supreme only.
No, not necessarily. If they in a very neutral way, if they ask Lord Shiva, who is the supreme, then Lord Shiva will guide that person to Vishnu. So such persons will not get distracted by the demigods to worship them. So therefore, the demigods are also Vaishnavas. Actually, all the demigods are Vaishnavas. So, and these demigods, they bestow two types of mercy upon their worshippers. One is called as Sakapata Kripa and another is called as Akapata Kripa. So Sakapata Kripa means mercy which is compromised mercy. So when someone comes to Lord Shiva and says, "Oh, my dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please give me this material benediction." Then the demigod say, "Tatastu, take your benediction and go away." So this is Sakapata Kripa. Because you are not even asking me, are you the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You have concluded that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So take it and go, no problem. Okay. And then there is Akapata Kripa, where someone approaches the demigods and they ask, you know, I am forced to conclude that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Are you the Supreme Lord? Because I wish to worship the Supreme. You know, this was the mode with which Narada Muni approached Brahma in the second canto. And he asked, you seem to be like the Supreme Lord. You know, you are creating this universe without taking anyone's help. You know, it all seems to be, the ingredients seem to be belonging to you. You are not taking help from anyone else in your creation. You are using your own energy. Looking at all of these things, I am forced to conclude that you are the Supreme Lord. But the only problem is that you seem to be performing lot of tapasya to please someone. So if you are the Supreme Lord, then to please whom are you performing so much tapasya? So I'm having this doubt. So which means he wants to know from Brahma primarily, if you are supreme, I will worship you. But are you the supreme? That was the question. Brahmaji wholeheartedly opened up and told, I am not at all the supreme. Lord Vishnu is the supreme. And I do everything being empowered by Krishna only. He says like that. So this is Akapata Kripa. When the right question is asked to the demigods, they will give the right answer. But if you are not asking them, are you the supreme? If you have already concluded you are the supreme, please give me this material benediction. Then the demigods will fulfill that desire.
Right. Wonderful. But the question again arises, Lord, I mean, Narad Muni could approach Lord Brahma. I mean, as commoners, there is no approach. As preachers, there are so many people who we come across and you can share knowledge or whatever. But for those who have been worshipping or who have learned from, as you said, you know, circumstantially they have gained through experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do they, what is the access to, I mean, you cannot go and ask Lord Shiva directly, okay?
Yeah, no. Who is this? Well, correct. So, if you cannot ask Lord Shiva who is supreme, then if you have faith that if I want some material benefit, if I pray to Lord Shiva, he will give, then you should also have the faith that I have this question, I will ask Lord Shiva, he will answer also in some way. Isn't it, Prabhu? So okay. If they are worshipping Shiva for what? For some benediction, right? So do they see Lord Shiva personally handing over that material benediction to them? They don't see. Just that when they offer prayers, they see that their prayers are getting fulfilled. So which means that much faith they have, that there is reciprocation coming from Lord Shiva. So if they have a question, they can ask. And if they have faith that that Lord Shiva will fulfill their material needs, then Lord Shiva can answer questions also. Why not?
Right. Wonderful. Probably Lord Shiva would send a devotee like you to that person.
Or a devotee like yourself. He may give him some material ailment and send you to your clinic and then you give him some medicines and some good Sukriti also, and then he may become a devotee.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you, Hariba.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, okay, there is another question. Demigod worshippers, many of them keep Krishna also on the same pedestal with the demigods. So this will be aparad, and unfortunately, they will not attain any Sukriti, even if they come in contact with the devotees. We will discuss about this little bit more in detail. We will touch this point because the next whole section is about demigod worship. Okay, so we will move ahead now. So in the previous verse, Krishna says that, who surrenders, who does not surrender. Amongst those who surrender, the Jnanamishra Bhakta is the best, he says. And then he says, but foolish people whose intelligence is not guided by the Shastras, they surrender to, they worship various devatas controlled by their own low natures. By their own low natures. They are not guided by the Shastras. Okay. So, then Krishna says that yo yamyam tam bhaktaha shraddayarchitum icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddam tameva vidadamyaham. So Krishna says, tam bhaktaha eva vidadami aham. I give those persons who are the worship, who are inclined to worship the demigods. How does Krishna respond to them? Tasya tasya achalam shraddam. I give them firm faith in those devatas. Okay. Because Krishna does not want someone to surrender to him, because the other deva, because no one else is capable of giving them what they want. Okay. So therefore, Krishna has empowered the devatas to fulfill many of the material desires that people want. So that they don't, because they don't come to Krishna, because whomever they are inclined to worship, they are incapable of fulfilling their desires. So that kind of surrender Krishna does not want. Okay, you are inclined to worship this devata. What do I do? Tasya tasya achalam shraddam. I give firm faith in those devatas. Yam yam tanum, whose forms yaha yaha shraddaya architum icchati. I give firm faith in those devatas whose forms they desire to worship with faith. So when Krishna sees that a person has some small inclination to worship that devata, Krishna says, no problem, go and worship him. And he makes their faith very strong in that devata. And one of the ways in which he makes that faith in the devata strong is through these books in which he glorifies those devatas as if they are supreme. So even though those shastras are there, why as Vaishnavas we are not attracted to those shastras? All of you are aware, right? How many of you asked this question and how many of you already know that there are shastras in which Lord Shiva is glorified as the supreme, Lord Indra is glorified as the supreme, Lord Brahma is glorified as the supreme. How many of you know that such shastras are there? Please raise your hands. How many of you know? You may not have read those shastras, but please raise your hands and let me know. How many of you know that such shastras are there? Yeah, so many of you are raising your hands. So now my question is, why don't you read those shastras and start worshipping the demigods? The opportunity is there even now. The opportunity is there even now. Why don't you read those shastras and start worshipping the demigods? Who has shut the doors for you? Why don't you do it? Huh? Yes, Shyamalal Prabhu, would you like to answer this question?
Well, the fact is, previously I used to worship Lord Shiva for almost 4.5 years.
Okay.
Till I came to Radha Gopinath temple.
Okay.
And after hearing Gurudev on Mahashivratri day, that was my first lecture of that was my first lecture that I heard from Gurudev. So that was heart transforming.
So now again those literatures are there which glorify Lord Shiva or which seemingly glorify Lord Shiva as the supreme. Why you are not attracted to those literatures?
Because now the scriptures are there, but now there's a higher understanding.
How do you know this is higher and that is lower? And why do some people think that is higher and this is lower?
Because I think they have not heard from the right sources.
How do you know which is the right source? The one talking about Lord Shiva as the right source or the one talking about Vishnu as the right source? How do you know which is the right source?
Because we have seen transformations in people. We have seen how Srila Prabhupada's movement has transformed the lives of people. So automatically you will get conviction. It is not just empty statements. So there is evidence that.
So the point is, it is actually Sukriti. Sukriti. So someone who has come in touch with the devotees and received that Sukriti, he will develop faith in those Shastras which glorify Vishnu. But if someone has not received that Sukriti, so they will get attracted to the Shastras which glorify the other demigods. So that is the point. So it is all, that is why multiple Shastras are there, which seemingly glorify different personalities, but no one seems to be really confused. Everyone seems to have taken a clear stance. Okay, someone feels Lord Shiva is supreme, he is worshipping Lord Shiva based on those Shastras. Someone considers Lord Vishnu is supreme, he seems to be worshipping Lord Vishnu based on these Shastras. There seems to be no confusion because attraction to particular Shastras is also based on one Sukriti only. So if someone has Sukriti, so therefore multiple Shastras can coexist without essentially confusing the followers. The appropriate followers will get attracted to those appropriate literatures. That is the way in which Krishna has written. So it's not like all Shastras are very, very unequivocal in their presentation. It is very clear Krishna is supreme, but still the worshippers of Krishna will get attracted to those Shastras and they will follow those Shastras and they will peacefully worship. That is the way in which Krishna has created these Shastras like that. So or most demigod worshippers may simply follow family tradition. Yeah, most of the demigod worshippers fall in that category only actually. Yeah, they follow in that category only. Okay. Yes, Kesha Priyamati.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I always had this out because you opened this topic today. Prabhuji, even about the demigods, Prabhuji, like though we are not seeing demigods also. That is also we are hearing from our parents or from society or from Shastra, something like that, Prabhuji. So getting attracted to a demigod also, we don't have any authenticity like in that also, Prabhuji. Like we are not seeing them also. So only from people around us we are hearing about them, Prabhuji. So getting attracted to a particular demigod, is it a speculation, Prabhuji? Because like what is it we know about them much?
Yeah, it could as well be not exactly speculation. It could be laukiki. Laukiki.
It could be.
Laukiki Shraddha, you know, a kind of worldly faith. You know, I heard from my parents, I heard one of my friends says, oh, worship this demigod, he is powerful, he is very powerful, he fulfills all the desires, so worship them like that. So this is all like, you know, this kind of, you know, either family traditions.
Is it, it must be mental speculation only, no, Prabhuji, like, are we really developing a love for them?
No, it is not love. It is just faith that, you know, they can fulfill your desires, that's all.
Okay, Prabhuji, then if someone says that worship Shiva or Murugha or Vinayaka, like we worship them, Prabhuji, but if the same Shastra, if everyone says worship Vishnu, then everyone would have worshipped Vishnu. No, my point is, like, we don't know about anyone. So if someone says worship Vishnu, then people would have worshipped him, no, Prabhuji. What is it? Krishna also expressed that a particular demigod, I develop faith. Like, what is that? I couldn't get that point, Prabhuji. What is it we're getting attracted in them?
If someone, you may get attracted to their form, their qualities, their name, their capacity, their ability in fulfilling desires, you know, all of that. One may get attracted.
That is there. Everything is there in Vishnu, no, Prabhuji. If someone prays to Krishna, Vishnu, everything is fulfilled, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah, but natural attraction everyone has. So if someone is more attracted to a form of demigod, then Krishna is perfectly fine with it. So
I'm asking you, what is that attracts from the demigod, Prabhuji? That is the point I'm asking you.
People are attracted even to ordinary human beings for and the shelter of ordinary human beings. So why can't they get attracted to demigods who are million times more powerful and capable than human beings?
So they're reciprocating. From their reciprocation, they're attracted. Is it, Prabhuji? From reciprocation.
Yeah. You pray to them, they reciprocate.
I am from Tamil Nadu, no, Prabhuji. So I see here, Lord Murugha is worshipped like anything here in my place especially. People have a lot of attraction towards him.
How they get that reciprocation, Krishna is going to talk about in the next verse.
Oh, okay. So he's perfectly fine. Like, even if people worship demigod, let them continue. It's that, it is his stand is like that, is it, Prabhuji?
Krishna's stance is like that. But the devotee's stance is, okay, you are worshipping demigod, fine. Let me try to do something to help you gain some sukriti so that you may take one step towards getting attracted to Krishna. That should be the mood of devotees. But don't tell them that give up this nonsense demigod worship and worship Krishna. Okay, we cannot say that to everyone. To most people, we may not say that. But at least we try to help them gain some sukriti so that they can take one towards worshipping Krishna, developing attraction towards Krishna. That should be the mood of the devotees.
Whatever they pray to demigod, naturally, if they follow, like, they devoted to Krishna, everything is going to be fulfilled only, no, Prabhuji. Like,
you are speaking logic, Madhuri. You are speaking logic. That logic will be attractive only to those who have sukriti.
Whatever question I asked, this is the answer, Prabhuji.
This is the answer. So basically, it means you have to internalize this answer.
Yes, Prabhuji, sorry. I'm asking and giving you the same. You are giving the same answer. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So Krishna says, Yo yo yam yam tanumbastaha. Shraddhayarchitum icchati tasya tasya achalam shraddham tameva vidadamyaham. I give those persons firm faith in those devatas whose forms they desire to worship with faith. So Krishna says, you want to worship them? Worship them. And I will make your faith firm in those demigods. So here, Srila Vishnachakrita Guru says, you should not say that the devata pleased with being worshipped will produce faith in worshipping the Supreme Lord in order to benefit of the worshipper. As those devatas cannot even produce faith in their followers to worship the devatas, how can they produce faith in their followers to worship me? So he says that the devatas cannot even empower their followers to enhance their faith in worshiping them. So how can they give faith to worship me? So when those people desire to worship forms such as Surya, which are actually my forms, since they are my vibhutis, I as Paramatma give the faith in those forms of devatas. Okay, worship them, no problem. The devatas do not give the faith. I give them faith. Okay, how do I give them faith? He says, how do I give and enhance that faith? He says, Sataya shraddaya yukta satyaradhanam ihate labate chatatak kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. So he says that taya shraddaya yukta, endowed with the faith given by me, saha, that demigod worshipper, tas aradhanam ihate, he worships that demigod. Labate cha tatak kaman, and he attains his desired objects, mayaiva vihitanitan, which are given by me only. So when they offer their prayers to the demigods, O Lord Shiva, O Lord Ganapati, can you please give me this? And they get it. But who is giving? Through the demigod, Krishna only is giving. So when they receive it, their faith in the demigod gets enhanced. Okay. So that way Krishna is peaceful and happy. Yes, look, I did not force anyone to surrender to me. Even though Krishna only is giving, Krishna only is fulfilling the desire of the demigod worshipper. But Krishna is not revealing that I am fulfilling your desire. Okay. It is the demigod who fulfills your desire. May you have that understanding. May you love that form of the demigod only. No problem. I am not possessive. But I will be happy. But you are my part and parcel. And I will be happy if you naturally love me. But I will not force that love. But a devotee who has experienced that love and he is feeling overwhelmed by that love, and out of that feeling of overwhelming feeling of love, if he wishes to share that with you, I will not stop that devotee. Because that is his desire to share the treasure that he has received with you. So if the devotee comes and touches the demigod worshipper and wishes to share the mercy that he has received, that is perfectly fine. But Krishna says, but if you say, I want to worship this demigod and I will pray to the demigod only, then I will fulfill desire through the demigod so that your faith in the demigod is maintained. That is what Krishna says here. So, that person endowed with that faith performs worship of that devata. He obtains the results of that worship from the worship of that particular devata. But those devatas cannot fulfill those desires. It is I who fulfill those desires. Okay. But he says, antavattu falam te sham tadbhavatyalpa medasam devan devayajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. He says, te sham alpa medasam phalam. But the results obtained by those foolish persons, foolish again means their intelligence are not conducted by the shastras. Therefore, they are foolish. So the results obtained by these foolish persons are antavattu bhavati. They are temporary. They get only temporary results. Okay. Devan devayajo yanti. And those who worship the devatas attain those devatas. Madbhakta yanti mamapi. And those who worship me, they attain me. So those who worship the devatas, they attain the devatas, and those who worship me, they attain me. But the worshippers of the devatas, they attain only temporary benefits. Because the devatas themselves have a temporary body and a temporary thing, so they cannot give permanent benedictions. Okay, their abodes are temporary, their post is temporary, their body is temporary. So how can they give permanent benedictions? They give only temporary benedictions, and that too, through them I only give. So then the question is, well, if the devatas are your bodies, then worshipping them should yield the same result as worshipping you directly, right? Because the devatas are also, you know, they are also bodies. They are part of the body of the Supreme Lord. So then worshipping them should also give the same result as worshipping you. Someone may say like that. But here he says, those who have scant intelligence, alpamedasam, and worship devatas, considering only that particular devata and not understanding that the devata is my body, obtain only scant temporary results. Okay. So, here he says, so there are two types of worshipping the devatas. There are two types of worshipping the devatas. Okay. One is one Krishna calls as improper worship, and another Krishna calls as indirect worship. Okay, so Krishna says that yepi anyadevata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mameva kaveya yajante avidipurvakam. So Krishna says, one who worships the demigods, so one who worships the demigods with faith, they are also worshipping me only, but improperly, avidipurvakam, without following the proper rules. So this is improper worship, which is what he is talking about as alpamedasam. Those who have scant intelligence and worship the devatas, considering only the particular devata and not understanding the devata is my body. This is improper worship. But some other people may worship the devatas, considering them to be bodies of Krishna. Okay, Indra is the hands of Krishna, Varuna is the tongue of Krishna, Agni is the mouth of Krishna, and you know, like that. So they worship the demigods, imagining or meditating on that demigod to be a particular limb of the Lord. This is called as indirect worship of the demigods. Okay. This also in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks. He tells us, Jnana yagyena chapyanye yajanto mam upasate ekatvena prithakvena bahuda vishvato mukam. Like that he says. So this is this kind of worship of the demigods, considering them to be the bodily parts of Krishna, is indirect worship, which is called as Jnana Yajna in Bhagavad Gita. But this kind of indirect worship can give transcendental benefit, but it cannot give prema. It cannot give prema. It can give transcendental benefit, at the most something like liberation, but it cannot give prema. So improper worship gives temporary results, antavattu phalam. Indirect worship can give transcendental result, but not prema. But direct worship of Krishna can give prema. So improper worship, indirect worship, and direct worship. Improper worship is worshipping the demigod, not understanding that they are part and parcels of the Supreme Lord. This gives temporary results, which is what is mentioned in this verse. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam. That gives only temporary results. So improper worship yields temporary results. Indirect worship leads to liberation. Okay. And direct worship of Krishna, direct worship of his direct personal form, it leads to prema. Okay. like that. So those who worship the Devata with the understanding that the Devata is my body, that person is not Alpamedasam. He does not have scant intelligence, and such people obtain infinite eternal results in the form of liberation. This is because the worshippers of the Devatas go to the Devatas who have limited enjoyment and limited lifespan. Okay. But my devotees attain me and infinite indestructible results from worshipping me, who am endowed with eternal infinite form, qualities and powers. Great difference in the results of worship is indicated. You worship the demigods, temporary results. You worship me, permanent results. So this is what this says. Okay. So this is about demigod worship, in which Krishna is talking about demigod worship from 7.20 to 23. In these four verses, Krishna speaks about demigod worship. Any final comments, questions? There are something in the chat box. I will touch them. We have just 2 minutes left. Okay, first question. Okay. Why Rukmini Devi had gone for Gauri Puja before Krishna's arrival? It was just some family traditions. She was a devotee, but it was just some family traditions. And another question. Does one need not do any work, or by simply worshipping and asking for something to demigod or Krishna, one will get? No, one has to, if someone asks the, how do I worship Lord Shiva? If one asks the Shastras, then the Shastras will say, you have to do these things. You have to do Abhishek of the Shivaling with so many liters of milk and all those things. So there are particular procedures mentioned in the scriptures as to how one should worship, which are the days in which you worship the demigod like that. Okay, another question. How does a demigod worshipper attain the planet of the Devatas? Do they pray for it out of love? Not exactly. And it's not that they attain it definitely. The best of the worshippers of the demigods, they may attain the planet of the demigods and stay there till the planet exists. Then when the planet gets destroyed, then they come back like that. Yes, Kalanidhi Prabhu, you want a follow-up question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I can visualize two kinds of demigod worshippers. One who is a monotheist and he thinks this demigod is the supreme personality of Godhead. There is another person who considers there are so many gods, and this is one of the gods, and I am attracted to this god, I am worshipping. So are they really the two types of demigod worshippers, Prabhu? And what results they get?
Yeah, in my understanding, there is not much difference between the two. Either you consider both are not supreme. In one case, you think that this one person whom you are misunderstanding to be the supreme can fulfill all your desires. And in another person, you think for different desires, you can approach different personalities who are all supreme. So in either cases, it is misunderstanding only. So is there a hierarchy between these two types of demigod worshippers? I don't think so.
At least one of them reckons that there is one supreme God, no? So he is accepting some kind of a transcendence. Others who think there are so many gods, that means they are actually impersonalists, no? That ultimately each God is formless. I am worshipping a particular form, my Ishta Devata, I am worshipping like that. But if he accepts that there is a supreme person and this is the form of that supreme person, then is it not some kind of an indirect worship of Krishna only?
I mean, any kind of demigod worship is an indirect worship of Krishna only, but it's not indirect worship, it's improper worship, because ultimately every form is a vibhuti of Krishna only. So in that sense, you can say. So that is why Krishna says, Tepi mameva kaunteya yajante abhidipurvakam, he says. So it is a kind of worship, but because everything is Krishna only, the demigods also are, in one sense, like representatives of Krishna.
But sometimes Srila Prabhupada also glorified the followers of Christianity and Islam because they are worshipping a one God, even though they don't know the form, etc. of that God, but they worship a one God for whom they have given a particular name. So he said they are better than our people who are impersonalists, who don't think there is a supreme God.
Yeah, in one sense, yes. Yes.
So in that sense, can we say that Muslims and Christians who follow their scriptures and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are they
better than polytheists and they are better than impersonalists? But of course, it's not that every practitioner in their religion is also not afflicted by the tinges of impersonalism and other such karmakandiya, jnanakandiya mishran. So I would say pure practitioners of other religions who accept a monotheistic concept of personal God and worship him are certainly better than Mayavadi worshippers who may fall within the Vedic fold.
But Prabhuji, still Krishna will not consider them as his direct worshippers?
Who?
Krishna, these people who worship the one God, for whom they give a name, Allah or Christ, etc. They worship in a very pure sense out of love, but unfortunately they don't know his form and other things. So following their religion, they are worshipping. Such people, will Krishna not give them a special status compared to others?
Definitely, he will.
But then still their redemption will depend on coming in touch with the devotee of Krishna.
Yeah.
That has to happen at some point of time.
Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Another question. We do not know which bodily part of the Lord Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu or Skanda Vinayaka. I do not know, but it may be given in the Shastras. I am not aware. How to understand the Lord Ram worshipping Lord Shiva? Well, as a Vaishnava, you can always worship Vaishnavana Mita Shambhu. So that is perfectly fine. So we have to see how Valmiki explains, or how the commentators of Ramayana explain. So this is expressing respect. When Vyasadev comes, Krishna offers his respects, washes his feet. When Sudama comes, when Sudama Brahmana comes, Krishna worships his feet. And so therefore, that does not mean that Lord Ramachandra accepts Lord Shiva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and worships him like that. So worship does not necessarily mean we worship Vaishnavas also. Don't we worship Vaishnavas? How many of you, have done Abhishek to Srila Prabhupada's Murti, in your home, say on Ekadashi days or something, how many of you have performed, Abhishek to Srila Prabhupada's Murti, or some of you may have gotten the on Vyasa Puja day or on days like that, you may have gotten an opportunity to worship the lotus feet of your spiritual master also, right? Does it mean that you consider the spiritual master as Krishna? No. So worship means in what mode he worships, that the acharyas have to reveal. So if So people can quote, but we understand anything based on the way in which the acharyas explained that particular event, right? So whatever way the acharyas have explained, that is the way we explain. Okay, like that, because that is the point. You know, we can understand the shastra through the illuminations of the acharyas. Okay, no one really worships Indra, Agni, Varuna, Vayu. It is Lord Vinayaka, Skanda, Shiva, or Shakti. I don't know. Maybe some people do. I am not aware. I don't know if some people worship Agni, Vayu, Varuna. Maybe as a part of the sacrifices when they offer oblations, they may. But I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Tarini Veda Mataji, are you raising your hands for a specific question? If not, you can put it down. If yes, you can keep it up. Okay, you're keeping it up. So, yes, ma'am.
I wanted to share one thing I heard about Rama worshipping Lord Shiva in one lecture in the temple. Actually, Jayapataka Maharaj was speaking. So he said that since Ravana is a devotee of Lord Shiva, then before killing him, it is like, you know, because out of respect, out of regard for Lord Shiva, that this is your devotee and I'm going to kill him. So for that purpose, he was, what can you say, not worshipping, but, you know, calling him and letting him know that this is what I'm doing. Like that.
Yeah, perfect. So here is the answer for the question. Thank you for sharing. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Okay, so thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this discussion further next Friday. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.